Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when this thought hits you. Okay, I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, the whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at Target.com/circle card.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up.
Let's go!
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the show. We got another week for you. Good fun week. Morning, studio.
Morning.
All right, here's your Monday get to know you question. What is your morning routine? How long does it take to get ready? What do you do in the morning, Amy?
I wake up, I make my bed, then I drink water, do my tongue scraper, brush my teeth, then I'll do meditation.
Are we doing all of it every single day?
5 minute meditation.
Oh, now we're talking.
And
let's
then
go.
I do a three. Well, tongue scraper, I feel like.
That is not a big moment.
You drank water in this story.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, then I do 5 minute meditation, and I do 3 minutes of journaling, and then I'll start getting ready.
What in the world?
Yeah, that's a
lot. You have time to meditate and journal?
Maybe a cold shower if I am going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
How long does it take you usually from when you wake up until when you leave the house?
Too long. Too long. Hour and a half.
Eddie?
So I wake up and I stay in bed for about 5 minutes, look up at the ceiling and like just hate my life and why do I have to get up? And I start thinking of like, do I have time to take a nap today? Because I'm so tired. And then when I finally get up, I go to the bathroom for about 10 minutes.
As soon as you wake up, you think about taking a nap?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, then you go to the bathroom.
That's the first thing. Like, when can I go back to sleep?
Got it.
Then I go to the bathroom for about 5 minutes while the shower gets hot. Take a shower, get ready.
Let your shower run for 5 minutes?
Yeah. I let it get hot.
Okay.
And then I go downstairs, make my coffee. I pack my little lunch, my boiled eggs, my overnight oats. And then I head out the door. That's it. It's pretty quick. Take about 30 minutes to do all that.
Lunchbox?
I wake up. And I look at the clock and I say, 6 hours till nap time.
Oh, same.
Or what? Yeah, whatever, however many hours till nap time. Then I go in and I urinate and then I brush my teeth and then I go and eat breakfast.
What kind of breakfast? Is it like a quick one? Like
sometimes Eggos. I make 2 eggs. Sometimes it's Eggos.
You make breakfast in the morning?
Every once in a while, like I'll cook a couple eggs or nice. I'll put an Eggo in the toaster, pop it up, put some peanut butter on it, eat it. Sometimes it's just a piece of toast. It just depends. Mm. And then I'm out the door. I grab a couple snacks. It takes me about 30 minutes.
From eyeballs open to out the door.
To out the door.
That's good. I wake up at a whole different, arrangement of times. But let's just say I wake up at 4. That's probably when I get up most of the time. And I'm like, it scares me to wake up every morning. Like, oh, God. And then I just start I go out, let the dogs out. And by the time they come in, I have their breakfast ready. So I have them their breakfast. And then I make my athletic greens with lime and coconut water and water. Make that, drink that. And then I start to read the news of the day. And Mike and I start emailing. And Mike knows if he gets email at 1 a.m., it's going to be a rough day for everybody because I've been up for like 6 hours before I get here.
And so I work on the show and go through all the notes, go through all the stuff that you guys have sent. Then I take like my peptides for when like I injure myself, which are their injections into my butt or my stomach, and I shoot myself up with those. And then I stretch for 20 or 30 minutes in the morning, and I read a little bit if I have time. Sometimes I'll go walk on the treadmill for a little bit. Depends what time I wake up.
Wow.
Just depends. And then come in, try to wake my wife up. Usually I have about 2 hours at home.
2 hours?
2 hours, man.
Dude, you need to...
I hate it. No. I would like to go eyeballs up. Oh, no, I can wear the same underwear. Who cares? And just go. That'd be awesome. I just have a little too much anxiety, I think. But that's the morning routines. I like it when it's lighter earlier.
Because it's kind of... Why?
Only in the morning, not in the evening. But then I like in the evening when it's lighter later. So I wish it could be lighter earlier than lighter later.
If only we can have that.
I know. Let's open up the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, Bobby Bones. I have two teenage boys. I am at my wit's end with all their slang. I just want to have a normal conversation. Just maybe talk about their day, and it's all riz, bussin', no cap, sheesh, sus. Just to name a few. I'm so tired of it, I've started a slang jar. Every time they use a slang word, they have to drop 25 cents in the jar. My wife thinks I'm being ridiculous. What are your thoughts on banning slang at home? Is the slang jar too much? Signed, Dad Ready for a Change. Before I give my opinion, I want to know about the slang in your house, Eddie.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I'm like him, like fire, cap, like all that stuff. It's just all... Dude, let me give you an example. Yesterday was my dad's birthday, right? Hey, guys, let's FaceTime your grandfather. Okay, great. They go in there, and they're like, hey, what are you doing, Pompo? And he's like, having dinner. And then one of my boys goes, that's fire. And the other one's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. I'm like, guys, can we
cool and awesome.
Wow, those are real slang, man.
Can we just speak normal language to him? Like, great, grandpa, like, that looks really cool. Like, whatever.
Jolly good father.
It's just normal talk. Like, it's fire. Like, what are you talking about? That's fire.
Okay. Thank
you. And then Pompo's like, what does that mean, fire?
Slang in your house?
Yeah, we have slang. We have, mom, you're cooking. What are you cooking? But it really means, like, what are you saying? My son's often like, no dip. I don't even know.
I never heard that one.
Yeah, no, I don't know that he has it right. Sometimes he has the slang wrong. But I don't mind it so much. Sometimes if you can't beat them, join them, and then they get annoyed you're doing it. So then they're like, ugh, I'm going to quit talking this way around her so she'll stop talking that way.
Slide it to Caitlin.
So,
you know what she does to her kids? Like fire.
Yeah. No dip.
Here's what I would say. You probably spoke a bit of slang to your parents or whomever raised you. They were just different words. And they, your parents, were probably like, what does that even mean? Why is something go way back bad mean good? Why? And we could go through all the terms. Okay. You could go 70s, groovy.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
There's a lot.
Far out.
Every generation.
Rad.
Sure, 80s. I'd say rad's more 80s, like rad, radical.
Psych.
Legit.
There's a lot of these. And the one thing that's never going to change is the slang is always going to change, and each generation is going to have their own. So the slang jar seems a little... The curse jar I get.
Oh, yeah. You can't say those words.
The slang jar may be a little too much... Unless you feel like they're just not learning real vocabulary words. I don't think you can use it as a punishment for them just saying it, but it would be nice if maybe they could pay or they could collect money from the jar if they use a new word. You just have to do some sort of award system as well if you're doing a punishment, because it's not something to get punished over, unless your slang's like bad words.
Yeah, I like the paying them for a new word. That's the bomb.
You didn't use a new word, though.
No, I was just using another slang term.
But you don't get paid.
Oh, crap, that's right.
That's slang.
And you came up with the bomb?
You'd be like, if you were to say, such a righteous suggestion, I'd be like, righteous, I'm gonna give you a quarter because I've never heard you use that before, and you used it in the right context.
Oh, okay. Huh. Yeah, that is terrific.
You really worked for that one,
huh? Oh, boy.
All right, good luck with the slang jar. I don't like it. You're the parent. Your rules, though, right? You know your kids.
Yeah,
your
but
rules.
His wife is like, eh. So she's the parent too.
I would just find if you're gonna take from them, also find a way to give to them if they can get better at the thing you're punishing them for.
Yeah, and I think as parents too, we want to make sure that our kids can talk one way, maybe at home or with their friends, but hopefully, like to teachers or in a more professional setting, they can dial it back a little bit.
Grandpa, you got Riz.
Yeah,
that's kind of higher, Grandpa. The way they're talking.
All right, close it up.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag.
Yeah. I feel like we've been together as a show for so long. Me, Amy, Lunchbox, basically 20 years, forever. Mike D, 15 years. Eddie, 15 years. Ray and all. I mean, forever. We've been together for such a long time. And I feel like most things we know about each other. And we were younger. We definitely like went on vacations together. Then we got married and kids started to happen. But I feel like we know everything. However, every once in a while, a new theory creeps out about one of us that I'm super interested in. And Eddie has a theory about Ray that he's secretly rich. Yep. And just refuses to share it with us. Which, by the way, I've offered Ray like promotions. Like, do you want... He never wants them.
Yep.
He's like, I like this. I like doing what I'm doing. I'm good. Which I always like is Ray's a hard worker. I was like, this guy works so hard, doesn't want a promotion.
And he drives a beat up car.
Right, like, right.
Yeah.
So, but you have a theory he's secretly rich. Go ahead.
I walk by his workstation where the board is and the computer is, and I notice something that's just been sitting there for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that is a BMI music publishing check. So when you write a song, the publisher sends you a check for whatever, you know, like whatever you make on your songwriting. I don't know about Ray, but as soon as I get that.
Any check.
Yeah. I open it and I deposit it.
And Ray has written such hits as Vacation 1,
Vacation 2,
and Vacation Christmas.
Correct. White Claw Christmas.
Correct. So this check's just sitting there. Like, he doesn't have to open it. Why? Because he's rich.
No chance I'd let a check sit.
Wow.
Ray, is it true? Do you have a check by your desk?
It is not true. It is a W-2 statement that they send at the end of the year.
Oh.
Good theory, Eddie.
Here goes Eddie.
Okay. Well, no, what do you mean? Guys, you would have thought the same thing, too. I'm like, wow, money bags.
I would have maybe asked a question, like, is that a check?
Oh. Or, like, look at the big W and the 2 that is on
there. Yeah. Like, I didn't say that on there.
Very obvious.
Ray, are you secretly rich?
No, and to prove that, I can open this live on the air if you'd like.
Oh, so you're going to tell us how much you made in all of 2023 writing songs?
Yes. And I also want this to be for kids, too, because we see the Luke Combs and Morgan Wallens of the world. But why not see the people that are struggling? I really just don't think there's any money in songwriting.
Okay.
That's the check.
All right. Total amount. Oh, this is going to be really embarrassing. It looks like $38.56.
Not bad.
Eddie, that is not the definition of rich.
Hey, my bad. I guess you're not rich.
It's more than I thought it was going to be.
I guess you're not rich.
So maybe he can't buy a new car. Okay.
You start to find joy in that. Maybe he is broke. So that's what you made the whole year? I thought like you guys got some decent spins on that song.
We did, and radio play, that gets some money too, but sadly that's it. And we split it three ways, so.
Oh. Well, you can do all the math you want, and it's still $120. I mean, it's, I thought it would be, it's not like it's 40 grand split up. Wow, I thought it would be more.
So where's the money in songwriting? Like, when it's like
number
really?
One.
Number one? Is that it? Is that where you get big checks?
I mean, you get checks for different reasons. Streaming, obviously, a lot of streams. It's like 0.06 cents a stream, something like that. And then, sure. Ray, I'm sorry, buddy. I didn't mean to embarrass you.
Yeah, me too, Ray. I'm sorry, dude.
The two keys are getting it on the radio and the other one, getting it on a commercial on TV. Massive like money in that.
Sync. Yeah, they call that sync. So have you guys tried to get it on TV?
No.
Haven't even tried.
Well, there's not like some summer. If there's a summer theme stuff, then boom, we pitch Vacation.
If there's a summer theme stuff.
There's always summer theme stuff.
Yeah, there's always summer commercials.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that and being vulnerable with us. Have you ever made more than that on a check, though, like the year before?
Yeah, we made hundreds before.
Hundreds?
What's the most you ever made on a check?
500.
Wow.
So this is like residuals.
Wow.
This is people still streaming it while they're driving their boats in the summer.
He is rich.
He is rich. This is like Friends. It's like Friends in Seinfeld. They still make money on that stuff.
Dang, Vacation. Yes.
Wow.
The Office. Hey,
The Office.
Okay, so now are we encouraging kids to chase their dreams?
Other dreams, just not songwriting.
Got it. There you go. All right, thank you.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So there's a beagle rescue place in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's called Triangle Beagle Rescue. And they took in a beagle named Honey from Kentucky that had 4 puppies. Well, sadly, 3 of the puppies didn't make it. So she was just there with her one lonely puppy. And then a vet calls and says, hey, I need help. I got some beagle puppies that need a home. Well, guess who adopted these puppies and is now feeding them, caring for them, making them her own?
Well, I don't think it's going to be a tough guess. There are characters, only one character introduced.
Yeah. Only one.
It is cool. It's a cool story, but the easy guess.
Honey.
Yeah.
That's cool that a dog
Yeah, she's nursing them, caring
like
for them.
Does that naturally. Like, it's just
amazing. Yeah.
And her the surviving puppy from her litter, Sweetheart, that she's, like, letting these other puppies come in and, like, hang out with her, eat.
Yeah.
Do all the things.
Do all the things is a good way to describe it.
Okay, so you want the names of all the puppies? So there's Honey.
How many puppies?
Honey.
There's Honey, and then there's her puppy, Sweetheart. And then the new ones that came in, Cupid, Cupcake, Kisses, Lovely, and Archer.
One dude.
That's
dog.
The one dude.
That's the one dude. Archer.
Archer.
Archer. That's a good story. Great job. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Here's the drafting category, the best things about small towns. Morgan goes first. We rolled the dice.
This is so hard.
Yeah, this is a hard one.
Yeah, because I never lived in a small town.
Oh, then you're out of luck.
You lived in, you're right, you lived in a city, but there was it was a neighborhood-ish kind of thing.
Yeah, but...
But okay, I got you. Well, then you just maybe you just won't do good.
No, no, I'll probably dominate still because I'm good at everything.
Best thing about living in a small town. Morgan, did you live in a small town?
No, I wouldn't call Wichita a small town, but growing up there, it wasn't exactly a big town either.
Okay.
So I did have a little mix of both.
Go ahead. And what do you think the best thing is about a small town?
Okay. This is hard to have the number one pick of this because I just don't know where it's going to go. But I'm gonna go with this one because I feel like it's accurate. Everything is cheap. Like, drinks don't cost $15. You don't have to buy crazy.
No, we didn't
cars.
Say go back 30 years. We said small town now.
No, it is small town now. Like, you go to a dive bar now, it's going to be like $4 for a drink. Okay. You can get fries for $2.
So cheap drinks at the bar.
It's cheap. Everything's
Wait,
cheap.
What bar?
Why are you guys going to bars and cities then? You just drive out to the town.
That'd be nice.
Then you got to drive back.
All right, Raymundo, you're from a small town?
Yeah, this is simple. I'm in a small town right now. None of you guys are.
Yeah.
Give me no traffic.
That's
I can get from
one
end to the other.
Pick.
That's
no
one.
That's a good one. I'm going to go. Best things about small towns, the church community. There are a couple churches in every small town, and they're rivals. But still, everybody's pretty close. And you go to one of the two churches for the most part, and you're all pretty tight because of it. So I'm going to go small town church community.
Yeah, but if you don't go, everyone knows.
That's yeah, true. They're all up in your biz.
Bobby hasn't been to church
everybody,
in 3 weeks.
Or am I going to Harvey Chapel across the street?
Oh.
You don't even know that. It's at a Mountain Pine Baptist. Lunchbox.
Man.
Amy's out, by the way, because she finished last. The last game.
This is tough, man.
Correct.
Best things about a small town.
Oh, man. Best thing about a small town. No violent crime. So much safer.
And less crime?
Less crime.
Okay.
That's
like
good.
That. That's good. Eddie?
Easy, man. What do you do in the country with the boys? Bonfire parties. Just make a big fire and let's have a party.
Build parties?
Yeah.
What do you want your official answer to be?
Bonfire parties.
Bonfire parties. Yes. We would never call them that in a small town, but
never. Never.
You don't know, man.
You could call them a pasture party.
No, no, no. Lunchbox.
That was going to be on my mind.
No, you
call
it a field party. But you have bonfire party.
Bonfire party.
I like it. And it's like pyrotechnic good time.
Because the big fire is the cool thing.
Yeah, okay. All right, so now we're going to go backward. That's round one.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
So, Eddie, with your party, the best thing about a small town
That's
is...
what I was thinking about, though, was party. I didn't know.
It's easy, man. Driving down that dirt road.
Dirt roads. All right. That's a good one.
I mean, that's where I drank my first beer.
Is that where you... Jesus.
That's where I found Jesus.
I knew it.
Yep.
Lunchbox? That's why I picked church community.
Why?
It's where I drank my first... I didn't drink the beer, but that's where I found Jesus.
What do you got, Lunch?
Trying to think, man.
He actually Googled what's cool to do in a small town.
Yeah. Guys, nature is at your fingertips. Nature.
That was
the access to nature.
I saw it.
You saw that same article?
Sometimes. If you're a country small town.
Where else is a small town?
Maybe
where else
like
is a
small hunting.
Town? Yeah, like hunting, nature, fishing, everything.
Nature. Nature
hunting,
nature,
fishing, good. And everything.
And I think that's probably pretty accurate with most of them.
Yeah, if there's a pond. Yeah, maybe there's no pond.
Small town, he puts nature. Okay,
I put hunting, fishing every day.
No, you didn't
and
put
loving.
That.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the lyric. I couldn't think of the lyric. There you go.
Okay.
But you said nature, so nature.
Nature with hunting and fishing at your fingertips.
I'm putting Friday Night Lights, high school football.
That's really good.
Good one.
It's a massive deal.
That is good.
Really good.
Everybody comes out for it. High school football, Friday Night Lights. That's it. That's what's happening in town.
Someone lives in a small town.
That was not in the article.
That was not.
That's a good one.
What'd you say?
That one wasn't in the article.
That's I didn't read an article.
I know. No,
Lunchbox's article.
Oh, I know. If I Google an article, you guys have probably Googled it, too.
Yeah.
So don't Google articles. All right. Next up, Raymundo.
Shoot guns.
Okay. At?
Anything.
Okay.
Anything.
Shooting guns.
Yeah. What kind of guns? Just kidding.
Registered? Morgan.
I don't know. Okay. I think I'm going to go with the slow pace. Mm. Like everything's very slow. Yeah, you get to enjoy life.
Slower pace of life.
Try that in a small town.
Try that in a small town. All right. So, Morgan, what are your two so far?
Everything is cheap and slower pace.
All right, now you'll go first in round three.
Yeah.
What are you going to add to that?
Oh, man. I'm between two, and I just thought of one when you were talking about Friday Night Lights. I don't know if I want to do it or if I want to do...
Thursday Night Dark. Wednesday Night Sunrise.
No, I'll say after everybody's done.
Okay.
Small cafes and restaurants.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Small cafes.
Yeah.
Sounds like, French.
Like the local spots.
Right.
There's not a lot of chains.
Like the Yum Yum Shop we used to have.
Yeah.
Small cafes, okay? Ray.
Call it corny, but everybody waves. In my neighborhood, if you don't wave, you're actually an outcast.
Yeah, that's true.
I like that, Ray.
Everybody waves.
How's it going, Randy? Hey, Mike. What? Hey, Tom.
No, you're waving, but you're saying hi. That's totally different.
I know their names, too.
Mm. All right. So far, I have church, community, and Friday Night Lights. I'm going to pick the best thing about small towns is small schools. Because the classes aren't humongous and you can pretty much do anything and everything. So I'm going to small schools.
Yeah, but then you run out of chicks to date.
That's true.
There are things called cars.
Yep, and you can go to the next small town and find a chick.
Or a big town nearby.
I'm just saying.
All right, next up, Lunchbox.
Oh, it's me now? Hey, I don't know.
What did your little website say?
I'm looking for it right now.
Let's look. City folk.
Well, there was one item on there, but I don't know if I should say that.
Then you shouldn't, probably. What? Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. Let's see. Quit looking at my list, Eddie. Get your own list.
Oh, I already have my answer.
Hey. Okay. That's
a
good one.
Is there a time limit?
Yeah.
Yes.
We need you to pick one, dude.
Okay. Helping hands. Everyone's there to help you.
What's that?
Everybody's got your back. Everybody's got your back.
Good.
Everybody's got your back.
The term helping hands.
Everybody's got your back.
Do you want helping hands on there?
Yeah, what do you want your words to be? Because that's what we put up, people vote on.
Everybody has your back.
Okay, cool.
I like that.
Yeah, helping hands just felt funny.
Sorry, I didn't know how to.
Eddie.
Am I the last?
Yeah.
Man, I'm between two really good ones. Like two really good ones.
Just say them.
So I have stargazing, because like that's great. When you're in a small town, you look up like, wow, you see every single star in the sky.
Right,
love that. Yeah. And then, which I think I'm going to go with, is the dances at the VFW.
Oh.
Those VFW dances, man. That's where it's at. What else are you going to do on the Friday night? Oh, there's a dance at the VFW. With a band? Cool. Can't wait.
Is that your answer?
That's my answer.
What is VFW? Write that down.
It's the Veterans of Foreign War. It's my grandma and I used to go, but never in our town. We used to go play bingo there. It's like a group of people that were in wars.
Yeah.
And so they have
and Eddie has competing days.
Eddie's like the 20s.
No, he has competing days. He has the dance on Friday night or the bonfire party. So which one's better?
You can do both.
Depends what age you are.
You can go to the VFW dance and then the bonfire party afterwards.
Or you can pregame, get drunk at the bonfire party. Although it's a field party. Okay, so Eddie has dances at the VFW.
Woo!
Dirt roads and bonfire parties.
That's what I'm talking about.
Lunchbox has less crime, nature, and everybody has your back.
Helping hands.
He chose
everybody.
Forgot
about
that
hunting and fishing, man. Yeah. Everybody's sleeping on that.
That's nature.
I know, but.
Yeah. Morgan has everything's cheap, slower pace, and small cafes.
Ooh.
Ray has no traffic, shooting guns, and everybody waves. Quality. And I have church, community, Friday Night Lights, and small schools.
That's really good.
Go vote at BobbyBones.com. We don't put our names on them on the vote. And don't vote for just the top one at the first round because we all have different positions. Vote for the three together that you would pick. BobbyBones.com. We'll put it up there for a few hours. Thank you, guys. Good job, everybody.
I should have gone stargazing.
Yeah.
But that's the term is not good.
What do you mean? That's what it's called when you look at stars.
Stargazing feels like you're looking through a telescope. I would say just laying down in a field staring at stars.
in a truck bed.
That's a really long answer, though. I don't know if it's
in the truck bed on a dirt road.
Whatever you want to do. with whiskey.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. There you go. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but you know, somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight. And visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. On the phone right now, it's Kelly, who's calling us. Kelly is a dyslexia specialist. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
So Eddie thinks he may have dyslexia, and not in a joking way.
No.
And maybe you've had it forever. You just didn't know that's what it was that maybe was inhibiting you.
Yeah, and then recently we were playing a game or something, and I did say something backwards without even thinking that I said it.
Also, what's that disease called you were talking about that the cat probably gave it to somebody?
Oh, bubonic Craig. Bubonic Craig.
How about bubonic plague? But yes.
So hard to say.
Yeah, so Kelly, you've heard Eddie and you've heard us on the show. Can you tell me, as a dyslexia specialist, what you've heard and what you think?
Okay, so I think he may have a form of dyscalculia.
Dyscalculia, okay.
Interesting.
Which is the math form. It makes it almost impossible to memorize multiplication facts.
Oh, you can't do that. That's crazy.
Oh, shoot, I have this too.
Yeah. And there's a lot of difference that goes with dyslexia. There's phonological, where you think you're pronouncing something correctly, but you're not.
Like, for example, that disease, Eddie?
Bluebonnet Craig.
He knows he's saying that.
No.
Forever he didn't. Even if he's kidding right now, forever he didn't. He couldn't say bubonic plague. Okay, so dyscalculia. Okay.
And the cabbage test that he took on, I wanted to explain that's phoneme.
So, wait, what's it called again?
Phoneme.
Okay, and what is that?
That is the smallest unit of sound in a word.
So what does that have to do with being dyslexic, and how is someone like Eddie, like, why would he struggle with that?
Because his pathways in his brain can't break down to that level.
Oh, unless I'm just dumb.
Your brain chemistry can't get on the same level.
Actually, no.
It's not smart.
It doesn't mean you're dumb.
No, it does not mean you're dumb. Most of your millionaires are dyslexic.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a fact.
Now you're talking.
But I do know stories of very successful people who were born dyslexic, so they had to figure out a way before they were even diagnosed to almost cheat the system, but they became so good at reading people, or because they had to survive,
right,
that by the time it was diagnosed, they not only had all these other skills they developed, then their dyslexia was a bit remedied and they were able to just crush it in the business world. Kelly, what do you think he can do to, I don't know, read better, learn more? What can he do?
Well, one of the reasons that I was calling is I'm coming to Nashville to see my daughter, and I was going to offer to test everyone.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Are you real? You're not making this up, right? You actually are a dyslexia specialist?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a doctorate, and it's not in letters, it's in education.
I don't know. It's a peer. Okay. Yeah, we would love. When are you coming to town?
It'll be the week of March 4th.
I will put you on hold. So, hey, Scuba, can you see if we can get her in and we'll take all take the dyslexia test?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And it sounds like there are a lot of different forms of it.
Yes, if I can test everybody's reading and spelling level, I thought that would be a good challenge for y'all.
It would. It'd be fun. How long does the test take, though?
About 10 to 15 minutes.
Oh, no problem.
Perfect.
Would we all do it at the same time, or you need to see us individually?
And can we not cheat and have lunchboxes? He'll look on our papers.
Yeah, spelling test is going to be tough.
Some of it I can do all together. But some of the actual testing, especially on Eddie and Lunchbox, I would need them one-on-one.
What, why
Wait,
us?
What?
Well, that hold was on. Rude. So you did say Lunchbox. Do you think, not? I made a joke about him cheating, but do you think Lunchbox has a bit of dyslexia?
I think he has some characteristics that would be there.
Oh, no, we're the ones getting pulled out of the class.
Yeah, we get extra test time, man.
That used to happen to me, but for head lice.
Oh, okay. That's different.
That sucked.
Okay.
So I would rather have dyslexia than head lice. Because yeah. I got made fun of hard. Okay, so let's do this. Set her up. We would love to meet her and come up. She'll give us a test. We'll check her credentials first to make sure she's... Because that would be an awesome way to get in and lie. I'm a dyslexia specialist.
Problem.
What'd you say?
I can give you my credentials, not a problem.
Where did you go to school?
Well, I went to SMU. I have a doctorate in education, and then I went back and got my dyslexia position.
I'm in. Are you dyslexic?
No, my son was, and he did not learn to read until he was 14.
Wow.
And now, this year, he graduates from U of A on the chancellor's list.
Nice. It's like a Disney movie. A mom goes back to... get her doctorate in dyslexia because her son. They can't figure out why he's not able to thrive in this one area when he's thriving everywhere else.
And then he goes to college.
And then he goes to college and saves the world.
Yes. He becomes a millionaire.
But an astronaut who then blows up a comet. And then as a comet's coming down, you find the cure for cancer in the comet.
Wow. Let's go.
Is any of that maybe true, Kelly?
He wants to be a counselor for terminal ill kids.
Even better.
That's pretty good.
Even better.
That's the movie, too.
Okay.
He's a cancer survivor, so.
See?
Oh, wow.
It's a Disney movie. Okay, Kelly, we're going to get your information. I would love to have you up here. And hopefully we'll see you in a couple weeks, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, don't hang up. Whatever you do, don't hang up. 28-year-old woman was busted for battery after she and her mom had an argument in the kitchen. And the woman grabbed the grits that her mom was cooking, the literal grits, and threw the grits in her face. The mom wasn't seriously hurt by the grits. So she hit her with grits. But if you only get hit with grits, do you call the cops?
No. That's kind of funny.
It was a real fight.
Yeah.
But assault with grits or assault with porridge.
Like, I'm pretty sure I've thrown a burger at my brother when we were fighting when we were kids. And like, you know, it just kind of, it made him mad, but we weren't going to call the cops.
But grits could burn.
But they didn't. It's from the smoking gun, and now they're like, we don't want the police to be involved, but the police got involved because you threw grits.
Yeah.
Somebody had to tell on the grit thrower. And I just think if someone threw oatmeal, eggs, I don't think that is me calling the cops, unless I'm worried that it's going to go from eggs to, like, sausage, and then from sausage to...
Oh, yeah.
And then it slowly escalates.
That'll hurt
An
you.
Apple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, that'll hurt.
Yeah.
An apple. That would hurt. The female victim, 64, was covered in grits when officers arrived.
Oh, she was 64?
Who's the victim? It's me. Oh, yeah, grits. The Bob
Bone Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So are there aliens in your neighborhood?
Bones? Define neighborhood. Oh, is our galaxy our neighborhood?
Oh my God.
And is it that small? Because we don't even understand how big things are.
She means your street that you
because
live on.
Because if you were to go back to like the Native Americans, they would have not thought that you would have been able to get to other countries because that was another galaxy to them, right? The ocean. They wouldn't even understand what China was.
Right.
And if we look at planets or other, we'd be like, we don't understand. But 100 years from now, I could be like, oh yeah, that's like China now. Anyway, who knows?
Well, there was this map that was put out that showed the UFO hotspots across America. And then it
Can you compare the drinking spot, like the most consumption of alcohol to in the same areas?
Well, I don't know, but they did some interesting numbers where 113 alien sightings have been submitted to the National UFO Reporting Center in the last 23 years. 113,000. That's
hear
a
you.
Lot.
It's a lot. I just think that if, and there probably is something more than us, whatever that is, they're probably so advanced they don't want us to see them, we don't see them. Like, it's not all on the same spectrum.
I know,
so
but
it's
I,
not like a little green man going, ooh, I got caught.
Yeah.
I hate that you think they're more advanced than we are.
Yeah. Well, if they can get here, they have to be.
Well.
No, not well. That's not a response.
Well.
They don't have to be more advanced than us if they're somewhere far away, but if they're able to get here,
then they're smarter
then
than us.
They have some technology that allows it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great story, Amy.
Well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I just thought that that was higher. And then, anyway, this guy was talking all about how true believers of aliens are not just outside of government. Many of them are inside
yeah, for sure.
the government.
I watch all their TikToks, for sure.
And that in the Area 51 county, there are 820 sightings per 100,000 residents.
That's just because people know that yes. that should be there. Like that, I you know, something's up there. I don't even know that that's what's up there, though.
Area 51?
Yeah, there's for sure something happening there, but there's for sure secret things happening all over America, right, that they don't want us to know about. But it doesn't have to be aliens. But if you said this is a place where there have been a bunch of aliens, even if people don't see them, they're going to go, I think I saw an alien more. That's all. And they're coming from the ocean anyway. All right, go ahead.
When are we talking to my cousin about aliens?
Amy's cousin, Amy's psychic cousin, loves talking about aliens.
Shocking. Yeah.
But aliens is such a weird thing because it feels like a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
E.T., but
Marvin the Martian.
Absolutely.
Alf.
But I also enjoy talking about the possibility of things greater than us. And so.
Yeah, I'm just interested to watch y'all, you and her both talk about it.
Yeah, I'm not.
And I'm just going to sit back.
Yeah, I'm probably taking a nap.
All right, what else?
Okay, so there's a new dating app called Score. And it's not just to.
To score?
Yes.
It's not Tinder.
To score in that way. It's not what you think. It's about credit score. And you must have at least a 675 credit score to use it. So you've got to have good credit. And it hopes to raise awareness about the importance of finances in relationships. And when they credit check you, don't worry. They're doing a soft credit check. Which
not one that affects your credit.
Exactly. Because that's the bummer about credit checks.
It's also a weird thing. We're going to check your credit because you want to know what it is, but it's also going to hurt.
Yeah,
yes.
Weird.
Yeah, okay,
it's
go
wild.
Ahead.
So high-achieving people do these things at least once a week. I'll run through the list so y'all can write them down.
I'll tell you if I do it.
Okay. They reflect on their progress.
Yeah. I mean, every 10 seconds, yeah.
Unplug from technology. It says just once a week, Bobby.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I read. When I read, it's pretty much unplugging from technology, except for I read on an iPad. All right?
They nurture their relationships.
I have to be very, very present with myself to do that, but I do a better job of that.
Exercise regularly.
Yeah.
Prioritize learning.
Absolutely.
Practice gratitude, but in your case, Thanksgiving.
I don't say gratitude. Hippies say that. I do the same exact thing, though. Just call it something different.
Okay.
I do Thanksgiving in the morning.
Yep. And then they set clear goals.
Yeah.
So there you go, if you want to be a high achiever.
I don't think that's all, but I think those are good fundamentals that if you do that, it doesn't mean you're going to achieve high. And you don't have to even do all that to achieve high.
No,
but
it's
probably
says
very
here,
similar.
Do these seven things and you will be successful.
And there you go.
Wow.
That easy.
Just kidding. Right. I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
It's time for the good news
with Bobby.
Tell me something good.
Lindsay Boyd works at Mason Jar Cafe in Michigan, and person comes in, they get their bill, it's $32.43, just some normal stuff, whatever. And so, leaves a tip on there, $10,000.
Oh.
Did you say $10,000?
That's a lot of money.
On a $34 bill?
Yeah, $32.43, $10,000 tip. Mm. We don't know who the person is. They say they want to be anonymous, unnamed. Now, here's the thing. He didn't want to have his name, and was real, because at first you're like, is this a prank, or did they write something wrong? Did they mean $10? You know, 10.00, but
right.
added an extra, who knows? But like, nope, it's legit. But he wanted to split it with the whole staff. Wanted her to split it with the whole staff.
Wow.
So in the end, 9 of the servers walked away with $1,100.
That's awesome.
Which is awesome. Very generous.
Was this the guy that was in town for a funeral?
I don't know that it said anything about that. Was there one like that too?
I think I've read this one. Yeah, he was in town for a funeral for his best friend, and he wanted to do that in honor of his best friend.
That is not in the story at all.
Yeah.
So either There's two of these.
Because mine was $10,000 as well. So.
Yeah, but I feel like if somebody's going to crazily tip, that's a pretty like common big number.
$10,000?
God, that's $1,000 or $5,000. Like, yeah. But maybe. But this is nothing about somebody dying.
Right? Well, let's put them together.
Sure.
Just for the sake of telling me something good.
That's just said it's a million.
But isn't the sake of telling me something good be that there's two men out there doing this?
Oh, man, that's even better.
Yeah.
If you were her, would you be...
I'd be disappointed.
Why? That you don't get all 10,000?
Because you're the one that waited on that person.
But it's not about the actual waiting.
The other waiter or waitresses did not help in any way.
Yeah, but it's not about the delivery of the food.
It wasn't.
Who did the most work?
And you said everyone gets how much?
1,100.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. There you go. Regardless of what Lunchbox says, that's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Here's a voicemail we got from Isaac in Indiana.
Morning, studio. I would like to make Lunchbox an offer he can't refuse on that nice Altima. How about $1,500 and a signature, of course? If you want to call me back, it's 26.
Yes.
And then he hung up.
No, he didn't hang up. We turned it down.
No, that was for his own, like,
safety.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a joke where he, like, says 26. He fades out.
What are you writing down?
$1,500, man.
That's a lot.
The answer is yes.
The dealership won't give you $250.
Yeah, $250.
I think I'm about to take that deal.
What? Does he have to come get it?
Yeah. I'm not delivering.
Right.
Unless he wants me to ship it. I don't know where he lives.
Ship it.
Indiana. It just says Indiana. How would you ship it?
You have card, like if you move, you can pay someone to bring your car to you.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's really expensive.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He has to pay those fees.
But it's not going to drive to Indiana.
Right.
Well, it might.
And how big are you going to sign it? The whole front door?
Oh, the hood.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like a NASCAR?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Okay.
Can we get Isaac on tomorrow, the next day, or the next day?
Let's do it,
and see if he's serious about this?
Yeah.
Because if he'll come down, Lunchbox will sell him his car for $1,500, and you could sign the car in front of him.
Yeah, and we can take pictures in front of the car.
That'd be exciting.
You're pretty cool. Yeah.
But you would do it for $1,500?
Yeah, I'd have to. I mean, it's only worth $250, man.
Well, why would you keep saying that? Because Isaac's probably listening.
I know, but it's sad. It hurts to say it and think it, but man, $1,500, you'd have to be gone.
Why are you mumbling and what are you writing down?
I'm writing $1,500. I'm just
over and over again.
Going,
okay.
Man.
All right, we're going to go do the morning corny. All right, let's go.
The morning corny.
What did they call George Washington's false teeth?
What?
Presidentures.
Pretty good on President's Day. Come on. Always timely.
That was the morning corny.
That girl's got her timely jokes, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm. Are we off today?
I think a lot of people are off today.
Should we be done? Like, take the rest of the day off?
Isn't this job a day off?
No.
Okay. Well, then no. I guess not. All right, Abby's in studio, our producer, our phone screener. Do you not watch movies?
I just really don't. No. I just never have wanted to. I can't sit still. I have other things to do.
Well, that could be a medical thing more than just, you know, wanting to have more culture.
Actually, it could be.
Oh, wow.
But she's asked, she's like, hey, what are like the top 10 movies I should watch if I'm starting to watch movies now? And so we're going to come up with that list. And this can be a list we put up on the website, like top 10 movies that somebody between the ages of 25 and 65 has to watch, like in our culture, our time. Are you ready?
Yeah.
We're going to debate it.
Okay.
Do you have any that you think should be on the list?
Oh, man. Remember the Titans. I don't know.
That's a good
that
one.
That we can talk about. Okay. I suggest first Forrest Gump. And if we get 3 out of 4 votes, that goes on the list. Forrest Gump.
Here.
That's 1 of the 10.
That's obvious.
All right. Yeah. Forrest Gump.
That's in.
Okay.
Amy, what's your suggestion?
Steel Magnolias.
Not on the list.
Not on the list.
I'm not.
I don't care.
I'm not voting on that one.
Dolly's in it.
I don't care that. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. You have all the emotions. You laugh. You cry.
You've already been rejected.
Yeah. You're fighting. You're punching water right now.
Yeah.
You know.
Julia Roberts, Sally Field.
I watched it. You made us watch it.
Borat.
No.
It's one of the best comedies of all time.
Okay.
No.
It's easy. Shawshank Redemption.
I'll second that one.
Yeah, I'll second it. I had it on my list.
Shawshank.
You seen that one, Abby?
Nope.
Shooting my shot.
I feel like it's movies that are like famous quotes that I never get the references.
Yeah.
My colors are blush and bashful.
You have to give that one up.
I never
She's
heard
talking about
say that.
Get busy living or get busy dying.
I'm going to go.
I carried a watermelon.
I'm going to go, because of what it turned into, I'm going to go Iron Man, the first Iron Man.
Oh, wow.
Because that opens the door to all the Marvel movies.
Yes, I love
all
Iron Man.
And that's, I think, the best. Iron Man and or the Dark Knight movies.
Iron Man.
I think Dark Knight.
God, they're both so good.
Dark Knight.
Let me suggest both. Iron Man. Do I have more?
I'm not going to vote on that one, Bones.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to vote on that one. No.
Okay, The Dark Knight.
I'm going to vote on that.
I'm going to vote on that.
Which one? Is this?
That's not four. That's three.
That's three out of four. Get your panties in a wad because you didn't pick your movie.
Yeah, Dark Knight is better than Iron Man.
Yes.
Nah. Okay, Iron Man leads to all the rest of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, okay. Well, The Dark Knight's in. Okay, Amy, go ahead.
Dirty Dancing.
Oh, my goodness.
Nope.
Nobody puts a baby in the corner.
I would say yes, but I don't think you're going to get a yes from them.
Well, have they seen it?
I've seen it. You made me watch it, and I liked it. Put it in.
Oh, yes! Let's go. Put it in. Didn't you say no to begin with?
I did, but then I thought about it. It's a good movie.
It's so good.
Dirty Dancing is in. Okay, Lunchbox.
Dazed and Confused.
Yes!
That is a cultural icon.
Hear, hear.
Yes.
I'm voting. Woo! Hey.
That is launching careers. That is one for the ages.
All right,
always
all right,
voted.
All right.
Yes.
That's true.
Do you give it a
all
yes?
All right.
Or no?
Nah.
I'm going to
match
you.
What are you talking about?
You guys.
Eddie?
Good Will Hunting.
Oh, I just saw that. It's freaking awesome.
I am so. Yeah.
It's awesome.
I vote that yes.
Okay, me too.
Woo! I'll vote no.
It didn't matter though. We had three or four.
Good try.
So far, we have five movies.
You guys are so stupid.
I'm going to go with Talladega Nights, Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Here, here.
Because I think that is such a Will Ferrell. That guy was the king of comedy movies for 15 years, it feels like. Have you seen that?
No. I don't really like Will Ferrell. That's the problem.
Oh, no.
Because you haven't seen him in the right light.
Oh, but maybe that's put him there.
And because we have to pick a comedy or two, right?
Oh, I have a comedy.
Okay, well, are you voting yes or no for Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights?
Yeah, I like that.
What? No, it's not one of the best of all time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Old School was more relevant than
I thought
that.
About Old School, too, but I'm going to go Ballad of Ricky Bobby. And that's made the list. All right.
You guys just vote yes because Bobby says it's amazing.
I like that movie, though.
But it's not better
Do they vote no just because you said
it? Actually, we're thinking for ourselves. Bobby has nothing
to do with it. He just needs an argument whenever he doesn't get his way. Go ahead.
Bridesmaids.
No.
That's a great movie.
So
that's really good.
Yes.
I vote yes too.
Okay, thanks guys. Yeah.
That's so funny.
It is, and it's very it's like a chick funny.
Yeah.
Like women are funny too.
Yeah.
So let's do a movie about them instead of like all the dudes in their wieners.
Not Old School.
Yeah. I liked Old School though.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, Lunchbox.
I mean, if you're going comedies, you have to go, I'm trying to
You don't have to go comedy. You can do any movie you want.
No, I know. The Sandlot. Yes. That's 100%.
I don't know if she'd like that.
I enjoy
it. It doesn't matter if she like it.
I
enjoy it. It is one of the biggest movies of our generation.
But I'm going to get. I don't think I'm going to put it on the list.
Oh, my God. Of course you're not.
I liked it, though, a lot.
But it's one of the biggest movies of our generation.
Anybody saying yes to that?
No.
I'll say yes.
No. Oh, but it's only two.
Oh. So stupid.
Eddie?
I liked it. This
Braveheart.
No.
Oh, Braveheart.
I got him.
Braveheart's good.
That's one of his favorite movies.
And it's long, and it's like a battle. And Mel
Lunchbox, you love Braveheart.
No, he's just not voting on it just to get back at us.
I'm going
to
say no.
Wait.
So you know what? I'll go yes on Braveheart.
Braveheart's awesome.
I haven't really spent time with it, so.
Are you going to go no?
I'm going to go no.
Okay.
Wow.
No, you're not thinking for yourself.
Yes, I am.
Exactly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Sandlot, you guys are
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, we have three more movies to put on the list.
Mm-hmm.
How about Remember the Titans?
That's good. I vote for that, yes.
Nope.
It's a sports movie. It's also like about race at a time when it was, it's not comfortable at times, but I think it's a good learning lesson. It's got Ryan Gosling in it, Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that. Eddie, you have to vote yes or no.
Yeah, I'll vote yes on that.
Of course you will. I mean, you like that better than The Sandlot?
Eight.
The Sandlot's fine, but she's not gonna like The Sandlot.
It's not about her liking it. It's about the best
two
movies
more
of our generation.
Okay. Go ahead, Amy.
Gladiator.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Good
Lunchbox?
Movie.
I'll vote no.
Okay.
Of course.
You know I voted yes for Sandlot, right?
I mean, it's you voted no on Dazed and Confused, which is
Gladiator's awesome. I want to watch Gladiator again. We have nine.
I haven't thought about Dazed and Confused
until about a week ago when we called.
I voted yes for that.
He picked Borat.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Lunchbox.
Field of Dreams.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
What?
Love it. One of my favorite movies.
I liked it too, but I feel like Costner's a little too old.
Man.
I'm going to go no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no.
What do you know?
Eddie?
Is Rocky too old?
There's a lot of them.
The first Rocky.
You could just pick one.
Pick Rocky IV.
I would pick Rocky IV.
You would?
Yeah.
If I were going to pick one.
No, but she has to. She wouldn't know what's going on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, no, I've only
seen
Rocky.
But in Rocky
I,
Rocky though, IV. It sets up the but whole
I,
yeah, story. Yeah, but
I never watched Rocky I until I'd seen like four. Yeah. Three.
Trust okay. me.
All right, Rocky IV then.
Is this you the, get the idea.
I don't want to spoil it, but is this a. If he dies, he dies?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rocky IV then.
I'll go yes.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay, we made our list.
You guys are
stupid. Whoa, okay.
You guys pick Rocky IV over six. I mean, you guys are so stupid.
Abby, here's your list. We'll put it up on the website. Hey. And whenever you finish one, just let us know. We'll come in. We'll talk about it.
If he dies, he
these
dies.
These are the 10 movies that you're going to watch, okay?
I must break you.
Forrest Gump.
Yes.
Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, so good.
The Dark Knight. Dirty Dancing. Good Will Hunting. Talladega Nights. The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. Do you want us to pull Bridesmaids since you already seen that one?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll pull Bridesmaids. It'll put one more on there.
Okay.
Remember the Titans, Gladiator, Rocky IV, and there's one more movie.
Should we throw in Sandlot?
No, we're not doing...
No, we're not going to do that.
Participation ribbons.
Well, it is a good movie.
I like
it. It is a good movie.
Well, I like Braveheart, too.
Do we all... Do we
what about like Matrix
movie?
Or something?
Oh, the Matrix is awesome.
I didn't like the Matrix.
I didn't really either, but I know people love it. I think that...
Let's go to Movie Mike. Movie Mike, what movie
are we... There we go.
What movie are we leaving? And whatever you say we're going to do, you get one absolute pick.
Can we include more modern movies that are also old?
Yeah, well, yes. Your Pursuit of Happiness.
Your Movie Mike, go ahead.
I'm going to go a little off base here. A movie that I think we all watched and loved that Abby probably wouldn't discover on her own. I'm going to go Parasite.
Yes! Oh, I thought okay. about Parasite.
You get to pick, so this is the movie.
Parasite.
Have you seen Parasite?
I have not.
Hey, good luck. It's in Korean.
Okay.
You're going to love it. You're going
to
like it.
Oh, you have to read the subtitles?
Yeah. Eddie said it was one of his top three favorite movies of all time when it came out.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Okay, there's your list. We'll put it up on our website.
That's a good list.
Good luck. We don't care what you watch first. Let us know when you watch one of them, okay?
Okay.
Now, that's a good list. Congratulations for getting your movies on the list, Mike D and Amy and Eddie.
Absolutely yeah, terrible
did
list.
Did Lunchbox get any?
Well, no. Of course not.
He led with Borat.
Of course not. You think they're going to vote for the movies that I like? No.
But I gave you Braveheart and you wouldn't vote for that.
Sorry.
Your favorite movie.
Borat was his first pick.
I mean, Sandlot, we go with Rocky IV.
I like Sandlot.
Exactly, but you didn't vote for it. Dazed and Confused. You wouldn't know who McConaughey or Ben Affleck was without Dazed and Confused.
Well, no, Ben Affleck was, we have him on here with
Good Will Hunting, which is where he really blew up.
He wrote it, and that's how he got.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Abby, thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your movie. You should, enjoy your movies, and when you're done with all of them, you get on Mike's podcast, and you guys can break it all down.
Oh, yeah.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer. But I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight. And visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. President's Day. Let's play a game. Which president do you hate the most?
What?
No, I'm just kidding. We just started a big fight.
No.
I'm like, well, that's easy.
I got a few.
President's Day trivia. It's President's Day, and let's find out who knows their U.S. presidents.
Oh, man.
Eddie seems to love presidents for some reason, which is weird. Like, I don't know why he knows so much about presidents. What? But you always say, man, I love presidents.
I don't think I've ever
I
said
think
that.
I've never heard you say that. Like, yeah. Yeah. So, buzz in with your name.
Oh, buzz. I like buzzers.
Okay.
Say your name. If you're in, guess the president.
Okay.
We'll do 7 or 10.
Okay.
Who was the president during Watergate?
Eddie. That's Nixon.
Correct.
I love presidents.
Mm. See, told you.
He loves Christmas. Why does he love presidents? No, presents.
What on earth?
Presents. What month is Inauguration Day?
Lunchbox. February.
Incorrect.
Amy. January.
Correct. January is correct.
I thought you said leap year.
No. President's Day trivia. Who became the president after JFK was assassinated?
Eddie. That's Lyndon B. Johnson.
Correct.
Love my presidents.
Would have never known that.
He was sworn in on the Air Force One.
President's Day trivia. How old do you have to be to...
Lunchbox. 45.
Incorrect. Amy.
35.
Correct.
Stupid.
I love the trend. Lunchbox goes first, gets it wrong. Amy gets
Players
it right.
Players out a wrong answer, then Amy takes...
Well, I know when he's saying it, it's wrong.
Well, I knew it was wrong, too, when I said it. Thank you.
What'd you say?
He knew it after we buzzed him. Here we go. Next up. Who was the president during the Great Depression and World War II? Eddie.
That is Truman.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
Who was the president during the Great Depression and World War II?
Lunchbox. John F. Kennedy.
No.
He said, what can your country do for you?
Amy.
Go ahead, Amy.
Roosevelt.
Correct.
What?
Thanks, guys.
They look the same.
No, they don't.
Roosevelt and Kennedy?
Yeah, they don't.
Bet.
No, they don't. They look- okay, I'll take that bet.
Bet.
Okay. Five more.
Okay, I'm coming back.
What president famously got stuck in a bathtub?
Amy.
Lunchbox.
Amy. Truman.
Incorrect.
I mean,
Lunchbox. Garfield.
Incorrect.
No.
Eddie.
Adams.
Incorrect.
Taft.
Because
dang it.
He's a big dude.
I was thinking Tubman. Because you said Taft, and then I said.
Then why'd you say it?
I was saying Harriet.
Well, what other Tubman was there?
Well, I know, but I'm just
Ron?
Saying.
Ron?
Harry Tubman.
Then I said Truman, and then I'm like, Taft.
Hey, so Taft got stuck in there because he was
fat?
Yeah,
he's a fat guy, yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Dang. That could have
What's his first name?
That's four more.
Harry.
William Howard Taft.
Shoot.
Which president is known for the Monroe Doctrine?
Lunchbox. Monroe.
I need a first name.
Henry.
Incorrect. Which president is known for the Monroe Doctrine?
Eddie. William Monroe.
Incorrect.
Amy.
Say Marilyn.
John.
Marilyn Monroe. John. No, James.
Oh, so close.
Man, but did you like my strategy to say Monroe?
I thought that was pretty smart.
So we have four more questions. I have no idea the score because I haven't been keeping up with it.
Doesn't matter.
Amy 3, Eddie 2, Lunchbox 0.
All right.
4, 5, 6, 7. 3 left. Martin Van Buren was the first president to do what in the United States?
Lunchbox. Taxation.
No. Martin Van Buren was the first president to do
this
what?
This is who Eddie did a book report on.
I did a whole report on this. Hold on, let me think about that. Amy, you have a guess?
He was the first one.
You wanted to knock another one out?
My friend just married a Van Buren.
Right.
Wow, okay, flex.
You want to text them?
No. What? It's a distant relative.
What in the world?
Get a distant relative real quick. Friend of distant relative. Go ahead, Martin Van Buren, the first president to do what?
They have no guesses. Let's move on.
Oh,
I got it.
Oh!
Eddie.
Fix an election.
No.
Oh!
No.
Go ahead.
It is. I just have to do with voting.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's the voting.
Wrong.
Polls.
It's be born in the United States.
What?
He's the first president born in the United States.
What?
Wow, that's crazy.
Just kidding.
Was that in my report?
No.
Don't think it was.
Probably should have been, though, man. I'll be honest with you. It's a pretty substantial fact there. All right, 2 left.
No, 3. Because I got to be able to get 3.
2 left. What's the score?
He was the first one born in the U.S.
3-0-2. Okay. Which president was a peanut farmer before
Eddie? Jimmy Carter.
Correct.
Let's go. Shoot. Tie to tie.
Tied up for the win. Which president said speak softly and carry a big stick?
Eddie.
What?
Truman.
Incorrect.
Speak softly and carry a big stick?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
When you say that, it sounds dirty.
Yeah, 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 I did think that.
Like that. Speak softly and carry a big stick?
Stick?
Lunchbox. Ronald Reagan.
No.
Dang.
Amy.
For the win.
Okay, here we go. George Washington.
No. Theodore Roosevelt. Lunchbox is eliminated. You two for the tiebreaker.
Okay.
One question only.
Good. I hope neither one of you get it.
Then we'll go to another one.
Oh, I thought you said one only.
No, one, not a three.
It's like a boxing match. One night only.
Which president is known for his creation of the New Deal programs to combat the Great Depression?
Eddie.
Oh.
Truman.
Incorrect.
The Great Depression. Amy. Roosevelt.
Correct. Franklin D. Roosevelt.
What on earth?
Yes. I just went off the time frame.
Yeah, depression again.
Go.
And a different Roosevelt, by the way.
Wow. So I guess Amy's the one that loves presidents.
Amy loves presidents.
Man, right. You should have made her been specific on that one.
Specific? Buffering, fuck that.
I had to be specific on Monroe.
Yeah, but it was called the Monroe Doctrine.
Monroe was in the name.
Yes. Hey,
don't hate the player.
Okay. All right, it's time for the news.
Bobby's Big Stories.
Do you like the new car smell?
Yeah.
Why?
I have no idea, to be quite honest. I guess it's probably the leather smell that I like. If there's leather, is this the same thing?
I don't know. I wonder if it's the association with a new something.
Maybe.
Just new
anything. I haven't ever thought about it, but I do like it.
So the new car smell most people like, but that smell is actually the result of a release of chemical compounds on plastic, paint, lubricant, sealants, and other.
Yeah.
So I'm addicted to it.
Oh, no.
So, if you were just to say, do you like the smell of chloroforminide?
But yes.
You probably would say no, but because it's that, it's a new car. But I do think I like this. Mm-hmm. Unless I just associate it with something new. I don't know. I can't tell the difference. But that's what it is.
It's a chemical cocktail.
And they say be careful. If you just inhale it for a long time in your new car, you could get sick.
Oh, great. No.
That's from Prevention.
It's like a Sharpie.
That's true.
Sniffing the Sharpie.
Sharpies do smell good, though.
Yeah.
The importance of a morning kiss. If you want to feel loved and less stressed during the day, kiss all the people you love in your house, including your dog and your cat. Mm-hmm. It's important that you do a physical kiss instead of just saying, I love you, before you leave in the morning. Connecting with the ones you love provides you a sense of calm and community. This is from Why Did I Marry You Anyway? From Barbara Bartline. Now, if I were to lean over and kiss my wife and I was leaving for work, she might slap me.
Really?
Well, because I'm waking her up.
Oh, I kiss my wife every morning, but she doesn't wake up. I don't even think she notices.
Oh, my
you
wife.
Do it every morning?
Every morning. Okay. And then one time I missed it. See,
I know. He's like, I spent an hour with all my kids.
I'm not joking.
And one day he didn't do it and she got upset.
She did.
Here we go.
She said you didn't give me a kiss this morning.
Stop.
I thought you said she didn't know.
Exactly. This is a long time ago.
Okay, so it's not consistent, this story.
No, guys, why would I make that up?
I'd believe.
To make yourself look good.
No.
Okay, so if I did, she'd be like, I think she would like it, but I think she doesn't be wakened. If she was already awake, she'd love it.
Mm. Well, don't make out with her. Just give her a little.
No, I'm going to tell you. I go for the uvula.
She's like, I'm sleeping. Leave me alone.
I do, and I don't kiss the dogs so much, but I do make sure they get petted equally before I leave, and I say bye to them, and I love them. So if I go to Eller, and I put my head on her head, and I'm like, all right, I pet her cheek, and then I have to do the same thing with Stanley so they don't get jealous of each other.
Boy.
Although dogs don't have jealousy, really.
Yeah, but you're worried they do.
Just in case. Just in case, like an alien's inside their animal's body.
Well, I think similarly, like here at the studio, we could all hug
Amy
each other.
Kisses us every day.
We're not doing that.
That's not what I'm saying, but I do think that hugs are important.
It's like an HR issue.
Yep.
No, hugs. Like
exactly.
A simple.
How long?
That's how it starts.
Is this not allowed?
I don't know that it's encouraged. Hug your coworkers. I don't think it's in the handbook.
You saying only when we leave work?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm good on not hugging you guys every day.
Okay. Yeah, I'll pass.
Yeah. Americans aren't taking as many breaks as they need to, the new poll says. 1 in 8 Americans take no breaks during the day.
Exactly.
That's so dumb.
First of all, Eddie, don't say exactly.
We need breaks, man.
You have them. You have a million.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say a million, but.
Like, I'd like to walk around the block once in a while, you know what I mean? Like, one of those breaks.
You can do it.
No.
1 in 8 people don't get any breaks. Others would like to get some fresh air by going on a walk, 35%.
Told you.
Okay.
Man, I remember when the back.
I'd like nachos too.
Yeah.
Oh, would that be nice during your break?
Yes.
Oh, really my car pushing days when it was really busy, no breaks, all 8 hours. That was rough. Man.
But you get to walk outside, so.
Oh, yeah.
I don't take. You know, when I get here, I'm not known as break guy. I try to give you guys breaks.
Sometimes you stretch.
I do, and I'm like, oh, I got to let them pee or something.
Yeah, it's really nice of you.
Yeah, but then sometimes you're like, go pee. And we're like, well, I know, because we have a go.
Yes.
Go!
Now, sometimes I'm like raising my hand, can I go pee?
And it's not that I'm not letting you go pee. I'm not Amazon. They don't let me, but it's like, I don't, when I'm in, if we have 4, 5, 6 hours, it's like, I want to use every second of that time, even if we're not on the air, at doing something efficient so I don't keep you guys longer than you have to be kept. So I don't take a break, really. But maybe I should just go for a walk. We should do a hug and a block walk.
No.
That'd be fun.
That's from the New York Post. A doctor says why you should never hover over a public toilet.
What do you mean hover?
Wait, who, hover, like put your head over it.
Or? No, hover like your butt.
Like
squat? Doesn't put your head over.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like, who puts their head over a toilet?
No, hover is like when you're not sitting on it. Okay. Yes. Whether you decide to hold a squat or just refuse to use one, a viral video shows people the cleanest and safest way to use a public toilet when you just got to go. Quote, many people tend to hover or even sit on top of the toilet seat and they're splashing. Because if you hover, pee or whatever falls down longer and splashes up. Mm.
Okay.
Mm. So what I do is I lift it all the way up and I sit in the bowl, in the water.
You're like an inch away from the water.
But the doctor says just know that if you're hovering.
But y'all have urinals. There's no water.
No, this is to do.
It's toilets, though.
It's to do the two.
My wife and I were watching a show, and the urinals, it was those, we guys know them, but they are urinals, but they go all the way to the ground.
Yeah.
And she was like, they have those? And she was like, I've never seen an all the way to the ground urinal that goes into the ground. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, probably 1 out of 7 or 8 is like that.
Yeah, you don't want to wear sandals when you got those. They're bad.
So my favorite are those troughs, you know, when you go to a bar, and when they all pee, but there's ice in them.
And it melts it.
It's really but the cool. trough, too, it's like, there's no divider. Everybody's just standing up there.
Or like a bunch of cows.
Using their bait.
Okay, I get it.
Lots of worms.
Yeah.
French bulldog napping situation is happening even more and more. As they say, cases are on the rise. Owner-reported dog nappings have risen 140% just in the last couple of years because people can get anywhere from $3,000 to $10,000 for stealing a French bulldog.
Like, at this point, if you have a French bulldog, I just wouldn't walk it in public.
ABC News.
The dog needs to walk.
You walk it in private. I don't know.
Like in your room?
Around the kitchen table?
Do laps in the backyard if you have a yard. I don't know. It's just so risky. You hear of a story all the time, and people are getting shot.
I can imagine somebody going, I'm with Stanley walking public. And some guy's like, let's get the bulldog. And they run over to him. They bend down to grab him real quick and like, what the? Oh, I can't. Too heavy. And then quit and run off.
Just, leave him.
He's just too heavy. We can't get him. But he's not a... He's a...
English.
Oh. These are French.
Yeah.
The most expensive home for sale in the United States is now up in Naples, Florida. $295 million.
Oh, what in the world?
It's a compound.
Gordon Point is a 9-acre compound in Naples, Florida. It's in a place called Port Royal. It's 11,500 square feet on a private peninsula.
Oh, man.
Main house, it's 11,500. Two guest houses, each over 5,000 feet, which brings the total to 22,800. All three homes are on a peninsula that has 1,650 as far as feet of waterfront, a private yacht basin, and a T-shaped dock. $295 million.
That's the most expensive in America?
America.
Okay, because I was thinking there's castles like across the pond, right?
I don't say across the pond, first of all. Second of all...
they say that, though.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I'm sure... But I don't know. $300 million.
That's a beautiful
house. That's crazy.
It is so beautiful, though.
From CNBC.
Yeah. I mean, you got your own beach, dude.
That's the news.
Those were Bobby's Big
Stories.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but you know, somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Billy Dean is here, which when they said, hey, Billy Dean's, I was like, absolutely. I said yes immediately. I'm such a big fan, have been a fan forever. So this is the part of the interview where I just say I'm a massive fan before I get professional. So thank you for coming by.
Thank you. My phone rang off the hook a couple of years ago. I think you were talking about the 90s and my name come up. And man, I had about five or six people from my hometown call, hey, Bobby Bones is talking about the 90s, mention you. So thank you for that, man, well, keeping the old man alive.
It's like, you know, I know where I was. Like whenever we just disagree, like there's times in music in our life at those ages where we're developing, where you just know where you were, and your music was such a big part of that for me.
Thank you.
And it's crazy that you don't really look any older. Your hair is a little grayer, but you stay, doesn't he still like?
Oh, it looks the same, man.
I'm just glad to still have some hair.
Good jeans or good docs is what they say.
I was getting a little thin on top, and my son's, I said, I'm a little worried. I'm kind of getting a little thin on top. He goes, Dad, you're 6'4". Nobody can see up there anyway.
That's true. You are quite intimidating walking in because you're a lot bigger than, did you get, right?
It's taller than I thought.
So were you an athlete as well?
Yeah, I played a little college basketball, a little junior college basketball. I'm from Florida, the great state of Florida, and I was trying to get out of there, trying to make my way to Nashville and by way of a scholarship and playing a little ball. So went to little junior college in East Central Junior College in Mississippi, and man, junior college ball is tough. They let you play. Don't call any fouls. It was like playing basketball with Toby Keith back in the day, man. There was no fouls.
That's
you
funny.
You play with him.
No, they can only afford so many referees.
That's so exactly right. You know, all these spoiled high school, you know, basketball jocks, man. You go to junior college, it's like, okay, it's time to grow up a little bit here, you know.
That's funny. So were you known in high school then as the singer or the athlete more?
Probably the singer, I guess. We had a small little school. You know, it was only like 30 people in my graduating class. And my dad had a band for years at the American Legion Hall. You know, he's a World War II veteran. And music was kind of like his therapy, you know. And so I grew up playing in his band. And then when I got to school, we had like a six-week term paper due about like Shakespeare, star-crossed lovers. And I procrastinated to the last minute and wrote a song instead of doing the term paper and got an A. And I thought, well, I know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. This is pretty easy. You know, it was like, I don't have to do anything but sing. And then the school kind of found out I played and sang after that.
Did people ever confuse you for the sausage guy?
Yeah, oh yeah, Jimmy.
Yeah, I did. Jimmy D. For a lot of years.
I thought they may have been related when I was a kid. Yeah. I was like, I wonder if Billy and Jimmy know each other.
I actually got to ask him that. In fact, we won a couple of awards at the ACM several years ago, and he we weren't any relation, but we knew each other, and he sent me a letter. I still have it, and I laminated it and everything, and it said, congratulations, love, Dad.
That's hilarious.
That's funny.
And so Billy Dean mean? Is that because Bobby Bones is not my real name? Bobby is, but Bones is not. Is that your real name?
William Harold Dean. My dad's name was Billy. I actually didn't have a middle name. My dad didn't. So my name was William Harold Dean, and I grew up as Harold Dean. I was named after
you. Were a kid named Harold?
I was. It doesn't fit.
Wow.
Right?
I never heard of a kid named Harold. Maybe an occasional Harry. Do they call you Harry or Harold?
Oh, Harold. It was always nasally. Harold.
That's funny.
And so, when I got to Nashville, man, there's no Harold Dean. There's no Harolds in country music, you know? Mm-hmm. And so my dad was really good. I thought it'd be kind of cool to just change my name to Billy. And over the years, I've had a chance to see that name on a lot of billboards and stuff, out in Vegas, and have a little talk with the old man, you know, and say, here you go, there's your name in Vegas now.
Until he sues you for residuals for stealing his name. As a kid, I remember whenever I would hear Billy the Kid, I always thought, and again, this is me as a kid, I always thought it was so cool you said your name in your song.
Yeah.
Because that didn't happen a lot. You didn't have Alan Jackson going, here's the story of Alan, or you didn't have, you know, they never, and I thought it was so cool that you said that, even if it wasn't about you, or it wasn't, whatever, I ever thought, artists don't ever say their names in songs. So as that kid, I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Oh, man, thank you.
Did you worry, not even worry, was that a concern whenever you're putting it out to have a song with your, about you, with your name?
Yeah, I thought it was too personal, and, you know, probably wouldn't be a hit or anything because of that. I actually was telling Paul Nelson, my co-writer, about what it was like growing up as a kid. You know, I said, I spent a lot of time away from the house on my bicycle, you know. But listen, it's kind of interesting being raised by a World War II dad, you know, because they tried to grow you up too quick, you know, got to make you a man, you know. You know, the Vietnam War was going on. So I spent a lot of time rebelling against that on my bicycle, you know, riding around town and everything. And I was telling, you know, Paul Nelson, we were just pretty much, you know, terrorizing the neighborhood and stuff. And he said, sounded like you were a little outlaw, like a little Billy the Kid. And when he said that, we went, oh, wow, never even thought about writing a song from that point of view. And we did. And then after we recorded it, it really felt like a hit. I tell you, I've had more girls, though, come up and tell me how much they rode their bicycle. They did the same thing as that.
You were just good looking and they wanted something to talk about. If I'm being honest, he's like, I had more women approach me about that. Yeah, okay, Billy. I thought it was, I remember thinking, that's so cool that he sings a song about himself. And I just wondered the process in making that like a single, if that was a weird element.
It was. It was like the fourth song off the album. It was on my second album, self-titled Billy Dean album, and we'd already had like Only the Wind, If There Hadn't Been You, You Don't Count the Cost. We had some hits off of there, and mostly ballads, and I always needed tempo and songs. And so Billy the Kid was the last choice, you know, the last single off that album. It ended up being an identity record for me. You know, it set me apart from the rest of the pack, really.
Would you mind playing just a little bit of that for
us? Yeah, I sure will.
Like, it feels like how your voice is, it feels more bluesy. Like it. Because, you know, there was definitely a style that you sang with then, but I don't know if it's because you got a little older, but I like the bluesy version of that. That's awesome.
Rand, you know, that's a big part of my musical background that I really couldn't bring to Nashville.
Sure.
They weren't really ready for that, maybe until, you know, Travis Tritt came along, and man, he was putting a little bit of the Southern rock or the Southern soul into that. And in fact, man, we're doing a lot of, actually we're going to do a little First Ag Festival with Southern soul, R&B music, and country music in
Where's that going to be?
Down in Quincy, Florida, June 1 and June 2. DJ Trucker, he's a great guy, great friend, and he's got like a million Facebook followers, and he drove a truck for years and did a Southern Soul playlist while he would drive a truck, and was able to quit driving a truck and do these festivals, and our county wanted to do the first annual Ag Festival in our hometown, and so that's what we're going to do. I couldn't do that when I came to Nashville because it was really, man, everybody was like, okay, are you a country? They're putting you in a box, you know, and fitting you in there. So so I kind of stayed away from some of that, you know, until a little bit later. But that's really in my heart and my soul. It's just the way it comes out, you know.
What's Quincy near your hometown?
Tallahassee. It's near the capital. Yeah. It was known for Coca-Cola. Was one of the first companies, the big tobacco farmers down there. It's a very special soil, a lot of agriculture down there. And Coca-Cola came down when they were raising money in the early 1900s or late 1800s to start Coca-Cola, they went to all of these tobacco farmers and got all this money. And one of the first bottling plants was there. And so, but, you know, it was very hard living, hard way of life there, you know, digging in the dirt and everything. I couldn't wait to get out. Of course, you know, dad always, you know, grow you up, you know, gotta be a man. And I was like, man, I can't wait to get out of here, you know? And so, but about 6 years, I moved back just south of there, a little island called St. George Island.
You live on an island?
I do.
Let's listen to this. He lives on an island.
Wait, so population, how many people?
There's, I think, 800 residents there. Okay. It's crazy, man. I went, when I first went back to the island about 6 years ago, I was standing there at this spot in the state park, and I went, oh my God, I remember standing here when I was 17 years old, wondering if I could just play music long enough to like buy a trailer and live down here. I forgot what the end game was. Mm-hmm. It took about 30 something years, but I remember that spot and I thought, okay, this was what I was really wanting to do. I wanted to play music so I could live down here on this place. A little fishing village, nothing fancy, no golf courses, no high rises, just little, you know, little second homes and little fishing village, just about an hour and a half south of Quincy where I grew up.
That's pretty cool. Are you a Florida State fan?
I am. I'm an old fan. Bobby, he spoke at my athletic banquet when I was
a senior
in high school. So we, you know, you go to school, half of them are Gators and half of them are Seminoles. It's always a, you know, a war.
We're going down to Tallahassee in a couple of days.
Are you really?
Yeah, to hang out with the basketball team and the softball team.
Oh,
and
awesome.
And so, yeah, we've played Florida State Football Stadium before.
We have.
Eddie and I have.
Really?
And yeah, Tallahassee doesn't feel like the rest of Florida.
No, right.
There are certain parts of Florida that I really like. I like Tampa a lot, normal people. Tallahassee's, it's young and also like normal folks too.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. You wouldn't think of Tallahassee being the capital. You know, think like a Miami or a Tampa, something like that. But it's very diverse up there, very different. Florida State was a big part of that. So music, you know, in that area, you know, you had like, yeah, the Allman Brothers, you had black gospel soul music, you had, you know, of course, the traditional, you know, George Jones, William Wailer, all the outlaw stuff. So there was a lot of different kind of music going on, and especially with the college town there, a lot of the James Taylor, you know, the folkies, which I kind of gravitated towards.
I think for a while, too, I think that's what you were known kind of as, the country music James Taylor. Did you hear? Because I felt that way. Did you feel that?
I did. I was a big fan. In fact, I was going to be managed by his manager. Went out and met him, met James, and, you know, they didn't know what to do with me. You know, they had a publishing deal here in Nashville, but then they signed me as a singer, record deal, out of New York. And they really didn't know. It was kind of fell in a crack, maybe, you know, and somewhere my broken heart came out and crossed over and to, you know, adult contemporary, and there was a big stink about that, you know, like, what is he? Is he country?
I know.
Oh, that's the, you know, of course, you don't have
and
to
some
worry
things
about,
never change.
Yeah, I know, yeah, right? Yeah, it never changed. What, you know, somewhere my broken heart was pretty different for the time, and everybody now you go, man, that's classic country, you know, it's like, I love being classic country now, you know.
The song we were playing before you walked in, because Eddie and I are both massive fans, we were singing, because there may be good times. So, again, that's another one that is just like an anthem from that time period in music. Do you still play that at your live shows?
I do, man.
Could you play a little bit of that now?
I sure do.
All right. How many shows are you playing? Like, what's the deal? Man, y'all got a bunch?
Well, yeah, we're going to be up in this area. Probably do about 150 shows this
year.
Wow,
really? Good for you.
And then you add the traveling on that. It's like that comedian says, Leanne Morgan, when I get home, I have to take to the bed. Yeah. I have to rest up.
You guys can follow Billy, and because you can see, you know, a lot of what he's doing. Either, you know, you have a golf cart you drive around?
I do. I do some golf cart karaoke on the island.
Yeah. You can watch it. It's official Billy Dean. You can see his shows. And the rest of it, it's mine. The record you put out in 2022. It's the first time in like 10 years you put out new music.
Yeah, it was. When I moved back, you know, during the COVID and all that, we were on the island, which, you know, I highly recommend if you're going to be quarantined, find an island somewhere. It was good, but it makes you write a lot of the stuff that I grew up listening to. And so I saw all these people retired, you know, in Florida, and they're so active, you know, they got, you know, kayaks, bicycles. And so me and Paul Overstreet, Hall of Fame songwriter, we decided to write a message to our kids in case they decided to boomerang back around and say, hey, The rest of it's mine. You're on your own now. Do your own thing. So the whole album's kind of fun and tropical, light. You know, I've always done so many serious kind of songs and things that touch the heart. And so I wanted to do something fun and easy, you know. And so The Rest of It's Mine came out last year. We'll do another one next year. Should be marking, I think, 35 years. Good Lord, of being in the business. Somewhere in My Broken Heart's, I think, 35 years old next year. So we'll do another album. Got, you know, writing better than I've ever written. Got a song, you know, Craig Morgan and Luke Combs recorded a song called called Raise the Bar. It's on his new album. And so some of the catalog's starting to pop up here a little bit. My son and his daughter, my daughter-in-law and my little grandson live up here. So I'm up here about once a month, just staying active and try to stay on the island as much as I can.
Sounds like you buy a new island, your own island. Keep popping like this. You guys follow Billy, official Billy Dean. Does your family back home, does anybody call you Harold at all, or is it all Billy all the time?
No, most of the guys I graduate with call me Harold. We get together about once a year, and they go, it's funny to watch them try to go back. Well, you want Billy or you want Harold? I said, Harold, man. Harold's fine. That's always code for somebody who's known me for a long time.
Well, we're big fans. I really appreciate you coming by. And everybody,
same here.
You're listening. You should go see Billy where he's going. Go to his shows, official Billy Dean on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you for playing it, too. That was awesome.
Thank you,
that's
buddy.
A thrill for me. There, Billy Dean, everybody.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you, Bob.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Overland, Missouri. A man went through the Wendy's drive-thru, ordered some chicken nuggets, ordered a number one. And when he pulled up to the window, the guy said, "Hey, why are you so rude on the speaker?" And he goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, I'm just trying to order my nuggets at number one." He goes, "Pull over there, I'll bring it out to you."
Oh, no.
So the employee came out.
Comes out to fight him.
Boom! Punched him in the face through the driver's window. So the driver gets out. The employee jumps in and steals the car.
What on earth? The employee?
I wonder if that was the plan the whole time and the guy wasn't even rude in the voice box.
Probably.
Like, he just wanted to start something, somehow get him out of the car and steal the car.
So he steals the car, drives away, then comes back and hits him with the car.
Oh, gosh.
Like, turns right around?
No, he drove like a mile away and then turned around and came back and hit him with the car.
Hmm. Why is the guy just standing in the road? Dude, go inside and call the cops.
I picture him there with his arms up like, "Where's my car?"
For 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Dang, okay.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
An Illinois man, he broke up this girl. She kind of dumped him. And then after that, like 3 days later, he wins $1 million in the lottery.
Oh,
you think she called him back?
For sure. Like, "Hey, want to get drinks?"
The Chicago area man told the Illinois lottery officials he was headed for a disappointing Valentine's Day after his breakup.
Wow.
He was sad, but his mood shifted because he bought a Monopoly 50-time scratch-off in the Walmart, North Avenue, and North Lake. He said, "Holy crap, I panicked. I almost didn't go to work. I've been going crazy keeping this $1 million secret. I don't have a special someone now to share my big news with because my girlfriend and I broke up 3 days before I bought the winning ticket. You can say I haven't had much luck in the love department from UPI. You know she's hearing this too.
Like, I know.
Tracy, he's won $1 million. Couldn't you have waited 5 days? Until after Valentine's Day?"
She didn't know.
But she wouldn't get any of the money anyway.
No, I know, but you still, your boyfriend have $1 million and you get to go on a nice trip or something.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Be a lot better relationship after that.
Dang, that sucks.
Yeah, but I mean.
No, it sucks. There's no but I mean.
Okay.
It just is unfortunate for her.
Yeah.
And for him, it's kind of awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's
him.
Probably thinking, "Man, he doesn't have enough money. He doesn't wine and dine me enough." And then, boom, really? $1 million. Like, "Oh, man, he could have brought me that Versace dress."
What? Y'all are...
Just bought a house.
Yeah. Versace dress is weird.
Yeah, Versace's kind of a weird brand anyway. It's a little too loud. It's a little too loud. Congratulations to him. Thought that was pretty good. We're done with the show. Bye, everybody.
Bobby Bones.
The Bobby Bones Show.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.